Our first reading is from Isaiah 40, verses 1 to 5. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one calling, in the wilderness prepare the way for the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people will see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Our second reading is from Isaiah 42, verses 1 to 4. Here is my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations. He will not shout or cry out or raise his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smouldering wick he will not snuff out. In faithfulness he will bring forth justice. He will not falter or be discouraged till he establishes justice on the earth. In his teaching the islands will put their hope.
And our main reading this morning is from Matthew 3, starting from verse 1. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is he who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, "Prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him." John's clothes were made of camel's hair, and he had a leather belt round his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. People went out to him from Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region of the Jordan, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the river Jordan. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to where he was baptizing, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not think you can say to yourself, 'We have Abraham as our father.' I tell you that out of these stones, God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe has been laid to the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire." Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" Jesus replied, "Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness." Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased."
Shall I pray for us as we look at God's word? Let's pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, we pray that as we come to your word now, you would be speaking to us. Father, we pray that in this new year, we would hear Matthew's words, that we would change our minds about the future and put into practice what you want us to do. Amen. Well, happy new year, 2023. I had the privilege this year of saying happy Christmas from the front, and now I have the privilege of saying happy new year. My question for you this morning is this: are you prepared? I mean, it's a new year. Hopefully we'll have stuff appear on the screen. There we go. It's a new year. It's a new number to remember as we try and write the date. Don't know how long it takes you normally to get used to that. It's a new year, a new change for new things. Are you prepared for 2023? I mean, with the last few years under our belts, you might feel a bit like this. Danny posted this earlier. I thought it was great for summarising how this works. I mean, You might feel daunted. It was COVID-19 that threw things up in the air for a while. COVID-19. 2019. It's 2023 now. What's happened since then? We've had the cost of petrol going up, the cost of living, then the war in Ukraine. I mean, being prepared, it used to be simple. Or maybe that was just me in my naive mind. Well, this morning, Matthew wants us to be prepared for something far bigger, something far more important, and something far better than 2023. Something we can be certain about. He wants us to be prepared for God. Prepare the way for God to return. Now, I don't know how much God's return enters into your mind. God's return, what comes to your mind? How much impact does that have on your day-to-day life? I mean, if I'm honest, I can't say it floats to the top of my mind that often. No matter how often we sing about it, I'll give you the stats on that if you want to know. No matter how many times we read about it, no matter how many times we preach about it. If you were to ask those around, I imagine you'll probably get something like this. Oh, I don't really think about it. I guess I'll be all right. I'll probably be okay. Or perhaps someone might say, well, I'm not as bad as that person over there. I'm sure I'll be fine when God returns. Or perhaps you'll find someone who thinks you're just one of those other out there people talking about the end. See, too often we get caught up in the day-to-day hustle and bustle of life. And we forget to think about the future. Either way, this morning, Matthew wants to throw that question into the spotlight. Are you prepared for God's return? Matthew wants to change our minds about it. And so in these next few moments, we're going to look at what Matthew is saying. We're going to let Matthew change our minds. And we're also going to see a surprise that he has in store. So are you prepared? Well, let's begin. See, being prepared takes action, doesn't it? Being prepared means you do something. So how can we be prepared this morning? Well, our first point, if you're a note taker this morning, is this. The kingdom of heaven is near, so repent. Have a look at verse 1, Matthew chapter 3. He came preaching in the wilderness. This is a man named John that we meet in verse 1. He came preaching in the wilderness of Judea. And he was saying to the people, verse 2, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Jesus is going to say exactly the same thing in chapter 4 of Matthew's gospel. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Great words. What do they mean? Well, firstly, he's calling the people to change their minds. That is what the word repent means. Repent means change your mind. Now, this morning, we might need to remove from our heads other meanings to the word repent. I mean, we use the word repent, don't we, to mean all sorts of things in English today. Perhaps we use it for turning from sin. Perhaps we use the word repent for becoming a Christian. I repented, I became a Christian. But the original language, this word repent means change your mind. It implies other things down the line. We're going to see that in a moment. But John is primarily here calling the people around to change their minds. But change their minds about what? Well, John says, change your mind, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. I mean, that's clear, isn't it? All done, sorted. No, what John is saying is change your mind about the future. Now, this is the first mention in Matthew's gospel of this thing called the kingdom of heaven. This is a topic that Matthew is going to say a lot about. We're going to see a lot more about it as we work through this gospel. But the language here is picking up on Daniel chapter 2. Don't worry about turning there. It's up there on the screen. Daniel chapter 2, verse 44 says this. In the time of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed, nor will it be left to another people. It will crush all those kingdoms and bring them to an end. but it will itself endure forever. Do you see there? God's kingdom is a forever kingdom. And God's kingdom is going to crush all other kingdoms. And if you read through Daniel, you'll find out that is a good thing. Now, when we're talking about kingdoms here, we're not talking about physical spaces. We're talking here about things that are opposed to each other. Daniel's prophecy, he's talking about kingdoms that have been set up in rebellion to God. But a time is coming when God's kingdom is going to come and sort all that out. When all the injustices of this world, all the rebellion of this world is going to be put to rest. Judgment. And that, the Bible says, will be a glorious day. In fact, if you've ever prayed the Lord's Prayer, that is exactly what we're praying for. Your kingdom come. And so what John is doing here, John is claiming that that moment of Daniel chapter 2, that kingdom is near. When you understand that, you realize there is an urgency to that message, isn't there? That moment when God's judgment is going to come, it's near. That moment when heaven and earth are going to collide is near. This message is urgent. This message means doing something now. It means changing your mind about the future. Well, what does that look like? For the Jewish people of John's day, we actually know what they're thinking. They think that God doesn't care. They think that God has abandoned them. They think that belonging to God doesn't change anything. Change your mind, repent, John says. God's kingdom is still coming. He hasn't forgotten his promises. They're on their way. In fact, we saw that at Christmas, didn't we? God is with us. Emmanuel. Well, what about the Gentiles? What about the non-Jews? Well, their worldview is the world just keeps going round in a circle. The world has always been this way. This world is going nowhere. It's just going to carry on. What does John say to that? Well, he says, change your mind. He says, repent. God's kingdom is near. There will be an end. Things are going to change drastically, and you need to be ready. I mean, that's not too far, is it, from where we might find ourselves today? There are many suggestions out there about what the future is going to look like. In fact, we're obsessed with what the future is going to look like. Perhaps you have an idea in your mind this morning. But what does John say to each of us this morning? He says, change your mind. Repent. God's kingdom is coming. God's promises are coming. And you need to be prepared. Now, hang on a minute. Why should we listen to John? I mean, there's all sorts of people, aren't there, out there who are telling us how this world's going to end. All sorts of people out there who try and tell us what to do. From the man with the sandwich board on Hemel High Street shouting, the end is nigh! Through to the climate protester on the M25 stopping the traffic. Why listen to John? Why listen to John amidst all the rest of them? Well, that's why we had the other readings read earlier. Firstly, we should believe John because he is the fulfillment of the prophets. He is what Isaiah promised. Have a look down at verse 3. This is he who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. Do you see, John is the one that Isaiah was looking forward to. He was the one promised by all the prophets. The one announcing that God is coming. That's the first thing. Second reason, well, because he's in the right uniform. Did you see verse 4? It tells us he's in the right attire for his job. I mean, if you want to look like a prophet, then dress up in camel's hair and eat wild honey. That is the way to do it. In fact, he is imitating prophets of before. If you want to look at something this afternoon, have a look at 2 Kings chapter 1, verse 8. You'll see he looks just like someone else. But the big point is, John isn't dressing up for nothing. I mean, I'm a celebrity, get me out of here, is a modern invention, all right? John isn't eating bugs for fun. He's not eating them for charity either. No, John is absolutely serious about what he's saying. John believes that he is a prophet. And a prophet is someone with a message from God. And Matthew here agrees with him. I mean, there's the old adage, we can update it. If he looks like a prophet and he speaks like a prophet, chances are he is a prophet. And this morning, if John is who he says he is, then each one of us ought to be listening up. Because if John is who he says he is, John is speaking God's words. To miss those words is to be unprepared. To miss John's words is going to lead to disaster. And that is what we see in the next few verses, verses 5 to 12. Have a look at them. Have a look at verses 5 and 6 in particular. Do you see the people there? The picture is of these people. They're coming from all around. They're coming to John. They're confessing their sin and they're being baptized in the Jordan. You see, the people, they believe that John is right. And what do? Well, they move. They really move. I mean, changing your mind, repenting, it leads to action. As these people, as they face up to the reality of what is going on, of this kingdom that is near, they're also facing up to how unprepared they are. I'm sure if you were to ask many of them about the coming judgment, they would sound similar to today, not really thinking about it. Perhaps in the back of their minds, they're thinking, oh, I'm a recently decent person. I think I'll be all right. See, I don't think there is much difference between our attitude now and their attitude then. In fact, I'm sure there were many religious people back in this day who didn't really think about God's coming judgment. People like me. People like you, perhaps. But you see, when the judgment, when the coming kingdom is preached like this, when it is preached like John does here, when it becomes real to people, when it comes to bear, people really move. They motor out of the city into the wilderness. And here they go through a process that a non-Jew, that is a Gentile, would go through to become one of God's people. That is what John's baptism is here. And this action is far more than just finding a bit of water to be baptized in. This is actually a highly symbolic act. You see, the locations matter. There's a nice map on the screen behind me for you to see. See, the people, they are returning back to the river they crossed when they first entered the land. Back in the book of Joshua, chapter 3, we're told how the people entered the land. They went over, they went through the River Jordan, and they headed towards Jerusalem. Do you know what Matthew's doing here? He's just reversing it. In Matthew, it's the opposite. The people are coming from Jerusalem and all around back to the River Jordan. It's as if the people are saying, we don't deserve to be in this land any longer. We've changed our minds. God is doing something new, and we need to change. So what they're doing is they're going out to come back in again. They're admitting that they haven't lived fruitful lives. They're admitting that they have some sin that might put them out of God's kingdom. Do you see? They've repented. They've changed their minds. And that has led them to action. But then there's the others. Did you see them? The Pharisees and the Sadducees, verse 7. Now, Matthew hasn't told us anything about these people yet. So if you know stuff already, hold it down. We're not boo-hissing yet. But what we do know is they are the religious leaders of the day. And what's happened is they've heard the commotion. They've heard all these people heading out to the wilderness, and they have come to see what is going on. And they're part of the crowd. But John notices them. Now, at Christchurch, we want to make sure, don't we, that we notice newcomers among us. And we hope that if you're new this morning, someone has come and said hello to you and has welcomed you. And we really hope that no one said to you what John says in verse 7. What does John say? You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. Please speak to me at the end if someone has said that to you this morning. You see, there is coming wrath. There is justice coming for those who have opposed God's rule. There is judgment on the way. And John is calling out these religious leaders for their lack of action. See, they might seem religious on the outside, But there's something about their actions that isn't matching up. And what have we seen about action in Matthew so far? Action comes from what you think. It results from your mind being changed. So what can we infer about these guys here? Well, we can infer they haven't changed their minds. They haven't repented. You see, repentance, changing your mind, it should lead to action down the line. Whatever these leaders say, whatever they might do, there is something about their attitudes that just isn't right. It's a little bit like this. I'm reliably informed that at the end of the film, The Godfather, never seen it, there is a scene. There is a scene where the main character, a guy called Michael Corleone, is finally acting as a godfather at a christening. Michael gets asked the questions, the usual questions. Do you renounce Satan? I renounce Satan. Do you turn from your sins? I turn from my sins. And as each time, as he affirms, he gives the affirmative answer, the camera cuts to the brutal murders that Corleone has arranged for his enemies. You see, he's saying the right things, but his fruit is definitely not showing. That's what's going on with the Pharisees and the Sadducees here. John also warns them not to presume on their status. See, as I said, we've not been told much about these Pharisees and Sadducees yet, but we can tell that they think that they're in the right. They think they're part of God's inner circle. They think they're part of God's special people. They definitely, definitely don't think that they're part of this group who don't deserve to be in God's land any longer. But what does John say to them? Verse 9. And do not think you can say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. I tell you, out of these very stones, God can raise up children for Abraham. If you know the story of Abraham, you'll know that God has raised children miraculously for him before. And if God's done it once, God can do it again. Family connections, they don't cut it. Being cut from the right cloth, it isn't enough. Change your mind, John says. Change your mind and do it quickly, John says, because the axe is already at the root of the tree. You see, the sharp end of the axe, it's ready to go. And it is ready to clear the way, to remove the dead trees. The trees that don't produce good fruit. Jesus is going to have a lot to say about good fruit, heads up, in Matthew 5 to 7. But you see, the point is clear, isn't it? Judgment is coming. And people need to change their minds about it. And they need to change their minds now. Because as the kingdom comes, so does judgment. And this is going to come after John comes. Do you see how imminent, how soon John thinks this is going to be? Verse 10, the one who comes after me will do this, John says. The very next person God sends after me is going to bring this about. So change your minds now, John says. See, that one who's coming, he's going to baptize with Holy Spirit and fire. I mean, we've just had fire mentioned in verse 10. There is a separation that seems to be going on here. There are those who are going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit, and there are those who are going to be baptized with fire. There are two groups. That is what John is saying, and Matthew's saying in verse 12 too. The one who is coming is going to separate people, just like a farmer separates the wheat from the chaff. See, as a child, I grew up near a bunch of farms. Little country boy here. And one of the benefits that I know Theresa May enjoyed as well was the ability to walk through the wheat fields. See, as you walk, you can see, you can run your hands through the wheat as it grows. And when the harvest is done, only when the harvest is done, you can pick up the wheat that's been left behind. You can actually eat the wheat. Have you ever done that before? You crush it with your hands, you chuck away the chaff, the outside, and you eat the good bit. You eat the wheat, the bit you want. You see, this coming one who's going to be more powerful than John, who John isn't worthy even to carry the sandals of, is going to separate the people like wheat and like chaff. In fact, little detail there, the winnowing fork is in his hand. Do you notice how immediate this is? This coming one is going to make two piles, one for the barn, one for the fire. Two piles. Not three, just two. I mean, that's stark, isn't it? It's binary. It's black or white. It's one or the other. That is the choice that John is giving here. If John is right that the kingdom of heaven is on its way, if it is near, then you need to do something about it. There's going to be a separation between those rightly prepared and those who are unprepared, between the wheat and the chaff. You see, the kingdom of heaven is coming, so repent. So change your mind. If John is right, then we really ought to act. There really will be nowhere else to hide in the upcoming judgment. The people of John's day, they really did act. They really did move. They went out from Jerusalem and the surrounding areas. They trekked back to where the people first entered the land. And they said, I don't deserve to be here. They realized that they needed a second chance. They needed a redo. They needed a reboot. They've changed their minds about what's going to happen. They've changed their minds about the future, about God and about his coming kingdom. And they did something about it. And the same should be true of us this morning. Are you prepared for God's return this morning? Matthew really wants us to think about this. He really wants all of us, every single one of us here this morning, to do something about it. As I said at the start, it's easy, isn't it, to put God's return to the back of our minds, to rarely think about it. But if that is true of us, we could be in danger of not being prepared. In fact, God's return should be impacting everyday life. The decisions that we're going to make every day in 2023. We're going to see more of what that means as we go through, but Matthew is going to explain how that changes our thinking about money, about clothing, about food, about everything. But we're going to let him say it when we get there. But it also means that those responses of, well, I'm all right, I'm not as bad as them, they just don't cut it either. You see, the people of John's day, they could have said that as well, but they still acted. In fact, the very people who did say that, who are they? They're the ones that John calls out. The ones who said, I'm all right, are actually a brood of vipers. The ones who thought they were better than the rest are in fact the ones in the most danger here. And pedigree doesn't count either. I don't know if it's just the people I mix with, but when I say, well, I work for a church, I get two responses normally. First one, oh, my mum used to go to church. The second one, weirdly, is this. Oh, my dad was a minister. I mean, maybe it's just my weird circles, but it happens all the time. But do you see what John is saying here? Really pay attention to this. It doesn't matter if your parents were religious. It doesn't matter if you're from a long line of Christian family. It doesn't even matter if you're related to Abraham, as those in this passage. Each and every person is called to change their minds. Each and every person is called to change and do something about the kingdom coming near. To be more fruitful than choppable. To be more wheat-like than chaff-like. To be desperate, to be utterly desperate to be in the right pile. But as we think about it, is that really enough? I mean, nothing seems adequate enough, does it? This baptism that these people here are going through, well, it seems to be the very least that they could do. I mean, does heading to the River Jordan and washing really do anything other than make you smell nicer? I mean, does heading out of the land to come back in again really bode well for the people? It feels a bit like a plaster on a gaping wound, doesn't it? It's really easy today to delude yourself into thinking that you can save yourself. There are millions, there are billions of people out there who think that. And I hope there's no one in here who thinks that as well. But really, is that what we're meant to do? Well, don't worry. The good news is the story isn't over yet. In fact, if we're following the story, the next part should be a surprise. Now, if you've been in church for years, you know what's going to happen next. But imagine for a moment, you don't know what's coming. This is our second and final point this morning. The kingdom of heaven is near, so trust Jesus. It's as if we're being told, you need to change your minds again. Let me read verse 13. Pretend you don't know what's coming next. Let me read verse 13. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan. Go on, fill in the gap. What do you expect to happen next? In light of everything that John has just said, what's going to happen next? Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan and brought fire down with him and judged the people, like John said. I mean, this is who John has just been talking about. The one who is more powerful than him. The one who he's unworthy to carry the sandals of. The one who has laid the axe to the root of the tree. The one who has a winnowing fork in his hands. The one who is coming straight after John. So if we're tracking, we should be expecting God's judgment to fall right now. Try and hear this as if it's the first time. Verse 13. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. To be baptized by John. I mean, what is going on here? Surely this is back to front. This is an anti-climax in light of everything John's just said. If you're thinking that, then John is right with you. What are you doing, Jesus? John says, I should be baptized by you, not you by me. Everything here is upside down. Everything is back to front. We should be surprised as John is here this morning. Yeah, if we understand what is going on here, we're going to see this as a wonderful thing. See, after all that talk of judgment, I'm hoping this morning this will be a comfort. This is what we should go home delighting in this morning. Jesus hasn't come with an axe. Jesus hasn't come with fire. Instead, what does he do? He gets alongside the people and he does what they're doing. He acts like one of them. See, both John and Jesus know that this is totally the wrong way around. They both know that this is something a bit odd. Yeah, what makes it all okay? Did you see what makes it okay in this passage? What is it that changes John's mind? What is it that makes John repent? What sorts all this out? It's what Jesus says in verse 15. Jesus replied, "Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this, to fulfill all righteousness." Then John consented. It is proper for us to do this, to fulfill all righteousness. We saw that word last Sunday, and the Sunday before, in fact. We saw it with Joseph. Joseph was faithful to the law, or Joseph was righteous. As we said then, being righteous in Matthew's gospel is doing what God wants, progressing God's will. We know already from Matthew chapter 1, we saw with the children earlier, God's plan is for Jesus to save his people from their sins and to be God with them. Do you see? That is exactly what Jesus is doing here. He is joining those who are coming to the Jordan. He's coming right alongside them, just as he's going to do with the tax collectors and the sinners throughout the rest of this gospel. He is becoming one of them. He's one of us. Or as Isaiah will put it, he's being numbered with the transgressors. He is bearing the sin of many. Jesus is taking on here that task that's been given to him by God to save his people from their sins. He is taking on the challenge that God wanted him to do. And can we be sure that God is happy with that? That is what God wants him to do? Have a look at verse 16. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. And at that moment, heaven was opened and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. This is a passage that gets me all excited. Heaven is open and the Spirit comes. Heaven to earth. Do you see that Spirit? Heaven to earth. God's kingdom really is coming. Heaven to earth. Just as John said. And as Jesus comes out of the water, the Spirit descends on him like a dove and rests on him. See, all this language is dripping, absolutely dripping with language of creation. This is the start of a new creation, Matthew is saying. And just to make sure we get it, God speaks, verse 17, and a voice from heaven said, "This is my son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." This is exactly what God wants Jesus to do. This is the Father's plan unfolding. As I say, we could dive right into these verses and see all the connections here. I'm resisting. But what Matthew is doing here is he's connecting the whole Bible together. When he says, "This is my son," he's taking us to Psalm 2, a psalm that talks about the king God's going to send, who's going to conquer the nations, just as we saw John say earlier. But spliced in with that, we've got a reference to sacrifice. And we have a reference to the servant of Isaiah. The servant who's going to give his life as a ransom for many. You see, I'm hoping that you're not seeing this as an anti-climax, but instead as something amazing. It is not that John the Baptist was wrong. Really important we get that. There is judgment. There is justice. There is punishment coming. We need to change our minds about that. But not yet. John's understanding is right, but his timing is off. Jesus has come to save his people first, to give salvation first, to deal with sin first, to be God with us first. And he does that by taking on the nature of a servant, the job of the servant, to become one of us, to identify with us, to take our sin upon himself, to deal with it for us so that we can be prepared for God's coming, be ready for God's return. See, this morning, the kingdom of heaven is near. Change your mind about that and trust Jesus. Trust the one whose job it is to save, because he will save completely. So are you prepared? We have all sorts of things we can try and be prepared for this year, but don't miss the big thing that Matthew is talking about here. Don't miss the ultimate thing. I hope I've done justice to Matthew's words this morning. I hope that he's persuaded you to change your mind about God's kingdom. Remember, it is near. It deserves your full thought. It affects your day-to-day living. It should change what we do this year. Please, please don't leave this morning pushing it to the back of your mind. Don't be one of those people who ends up saying, I don't think much about it. I'm sure I'll be okay. Change your mind about it this morning. There's one thing you do. Do that. And see the amazingness of Jesus taking on that job to save from sin. There will be punishment, there will be justice, there will be order to this world, but not yet. You see, the fact Jesus hasn't returned yet means we're still in that moment. We're still in the moment when the forgiveness of sins is available. The axe is still at the root of the tree. The wheat and the chaff are still mixed together, but there'll be a day when they're separated. So please, please do something now. See the urgency. See Jesus for who he is. Trust Jesus to save you. And be prepared for God's return. Shall I pray for us? We need God's help to do that. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that history is going somewhere. We thank you that there is a day when you will return to you, reunite heaven and earth completely and fully. That will be a day of blazing light and heat, which will separate people. Father, we pray that we would really understand that we would really know that we would do something about that this morning. Father, help us to change our minds, we pray. And Father, we pray that we would see the Lord Jesus in his mission to save us from our sins. Father, we pray that today people would turn and be saved by him. Thank you that he came to save those and save those completely. Father, we pray this morning, if we haven't done so yet, we would put our trust in the Lord Jesus to save us. Father, help us to leave this morning changed, our minds changed, to think about the future, think about your return. And Father, we pray that would lead us to action, all of us here in the year 2023. Amen.